This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. What is the confidence competence loop and why it matters when confronting toxic traits? How building real skill gives you the courage to address toxic behaviour? In short, toxic traits confrontation fails not because people lack courage, but because they lack the practiced skill that produces courage in the first place. Toxic traits persist when the people around them do not have the confidence to address them directly. The confidence competence loop shows that skill and confidence build each other through practice, not through waiting. You can prepare specifically for toxic traits confrontation using proven frameworks and scripts that reduce anxiety and increase effectiveness. Definition: toxic traits confrontation is the deliberate act of addressing harmful, repeated behavioral patterns in another person using direct, prepared, and respectful communication. It requires both the interpersonal skill to deliver the message clearly and the confidence that comes from having built the skill through practice. I want to tell you about a manager I worked with years ago. Intelligent woman, experienced. She ran a strong team and knew her field cold. But there was a colleague, a senior peer, who undermined her in every cross-department meeting. He talked over her. He reframed her ideas as his own. He made small, corrosive comments designed to chip away at her authority. She saw it. Her team saw it. And she did nothing. Not because she was weak. She told me, after months of this, that she simply did not know how to start the conversation without it turning into something she could not control. The toxic traits were clear. The damage was real. But the words would not come. That is the problem this article addresses. In Say It Right Every Time, I describe the confidence competence loop as the engine beneath every difficult conversation. Understanding it is not optional when you are dealing with toxic traits. It is the whole game. What the confidence competence loop actually means in practice. The loop works like this. You practice a skill. That practice builds genuine competence. Small successes follow. Those successes build confidence. That confidence pushes you to practice more, which deepens competence further. The cycle feeds itself. Here is the problem most people run into. They believe the loop starts with confidence. They think they need to feel ready before they act. They wait for the courage to arrive before they attempt the conversation. But as I write in chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time, we believe that confidence is a prerequisite for action, when in fact, it is the result of it. This matters enormously when the subject is toxic behaviour. Toxic traits in another person are precisely the kind of thing that triggers your brain's threat response. Your amygdala reads the confrontation as danger. Anticipatory anxiety floods in before you have said a single word. Without practiced skill to fall back on, that anxiety wins. You go silent. The toxic behavior continues. The loop never starts because you're waiting for a feeling that only the loop can produce. How toxic behavior exploits low confidence. Toxic traits do not operate in a vacuum. They persist because the environment allows them to. Chronic blame shifting survives because no one calls it out by name. Passive-aggressive undermining continues because people choose to interpret it generously rather than address it directly. A person who takes credit for others' work keeps doing it because a conversation that would stop it never happens. This is not a character flaw in the people being affected. It is a skills gap. When you have not practiced direct, specific confrontation, the thought of it feels overwhelming. The amygdala registers the anticipated conversation as a social threat. Your brain floods with worst-case scenarios. The person explodes. The relationship breaks. You look petty or aggressive. That flood of anxiety is what I call anticipatory anxiety, and it is different from the anxiety you feel during the conversation itself. Anticipatory anxiety hits hardest before the words are spoken, and it is often far worse than the conversation ever turns out to be. But without the competence built through practice, you have no framework to push through it. You default to silence. Toxic behavior fills that silence like water through a crack. Understanding how the confidence competence loop shapes team dynamics makes this pattern even clearer. The teams that address difficult behavior quickly are not braver teams. They are more practiced teams. Three things people get wrong about toxic trait confrontation. Let me correct three beliefs that I have watched real good people for decades. The mistake. You need to feel confident before you confront toxic behavior. Why it happens. Confidence feels like a personality trait, something you either have or do not have. What to do instead? Preparation is the direct source of confidence. Build the skill first, and the feeling follows. Waiting for the feeling to arrive means it never will. The mistake. Confronting toxic traits means having one big, definitive conversation that resolves everything.
Why it happens?
People imagine confrontation as a dramatic showdown rather than a skill built through smaller, lower-stakes exchanges.
What to do instead?
Start smaller. Address one specific behavior, clearly and calmly. Each successful small exchange builds the competence and confidence to handle the larger ones. This is exactly how the loop is designed to work.
The mistake.
Toxic traits are personality problems, so communication skills will not fix them.
Why it happens?
There is a difference between changing someone's character and changing the behavior you will tolerate.
What to do instead?
Your goal is not to transform the toxic person. Your goal is to address the specific behavior, set a clear boundary, and document what was said. Scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group dynamics show how this looks in practice. You are not trying to win a debate. You are stating clearly what you will and will not accept. What this looks like when it is working. You know the confidence-competence loop is running in your favor when the thought of a difficult conversation produces preparation rather than paralysis.
A few observable signs.
You use specific behavioral examples rather than vague complaints. Instead of "you always undermine me," you say, "in Tuesday's meeting, you presented the pricing model I sent you last week without crediting me. That needs to change." You name your own discomfort without being controlled by it. A practiced communicator can say, "This is not an easy conversation for me, and I want to have it anyway," and mean both parts. You hold your position when pushed back against. Toxic traits often include testing boundaries to see if they hold. A person with practiced skill does not over-explain or apologize for their position. They state it simply, "I understand it is a priority for you, but I'm not able to take that on at this time." What the confidence-competence loop reveals about feedback delivery applies here too. Specificity and composure are the marks of someone who's practiced, not someone who got lucky. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com.
Now, back to the article.
The Strong Method as a Preparation Tool. In Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time, I introduce a 6-step pre-conversation ritual I call the Strong Method. It was designed for exactly this kind of high-anxiety conversation, the kind where toxic behavior has gone unaddressed too long and the stakes feel enormous. The 6 steps are:
Number 1.
State your intention before the conversation begins, clearly in your own mind. What outcome do you actually want?
Number 2.
Take a breath, literally and deliberately. Your physiology affects your composure.
Number 3.
Respect all perspectives, including the possibility that the other person does not fully see their own behavior.
Number 4.
Offer specific examples, not general complaints. This is where preparation matters most.
Number 5.
Navigate to solutions, not just complaints. What do you need to change going forward?
Number 6.
Gain commitment to action, even a small one.
End the conversation with something concrete.
I also use what I call a conversation pre-mortem alongside this method. Before the exchange, you identify the worst-case scenarios you're afraid of, assess how likely each one actually is, and prepare a response for each. This exercise diffuses anticipatory anxiety by replacing vague dread with a specific plan. Vague fear is paralyzing. A specific plan is manageable. When you combine the Strong Method with the pre-mortem, you walk into a confrontation about toxic behavior with structure in your hands instead of anxiety in your chest. 3 real situations where this changes everything.
The colleague who undermines in meetings.
A team member consistently frames your contributions as their own or talks over you in group settings. Without the confidence-competence loop working in your favor, you leave every meeting frustrated, but silent. With it, you pull the person aside after the meeting and say, "In today's session, you presented the framework I sent you as your own. I want us to be clear that going forward, attribution matters to me.
Can we agree on that?"
How to give feedback that builds rather than breaks team dynamics covers how to frame this kind of exchange so it lands as professional rather than personal. The manager who shifts blame downward. Every project failure lands on the team. Every success gets claimed by the leader. If you have never practiced pushing back against a person in authority, this conversation feels impossible.
But practiced communicators know how to respond when feedback is met with defensiveness, because defensiveness from a toxic person is predictable, not a surprise. You prepare for it in the pre-mortem and hold your ground when it arrives. The person who violates your boundaries repeatedly. This is not one incident. It is a pattern: the repeated late-night messages, the dismissal of your no, the creeping scope of what they ask from you. Confronting a pattern requires more precision than confronting a single event. You name the pattern specifically, calmly, and without apology. Making difficult conversations less terrifying is a skill, not a talent. It is built through the loop. What to do with this understanding? Here is what I have learned after 60 years of getting these conversations both right and catastrophically wrong. Toxic traits survive on silence. They grow in the space where a direct, prepared conversation should have happened and did not. You do not overcome that silence by finding courage from somewhere inside yourself. You overcome it by building a skill, having the conversation, recovering if it goes badly, and trying again. The three-step mistake recovery process I use is simple. Acknowledge what went wrong, correct it with a specific follow-up, and move on. As I have said to many people I have coached, your recovery from a fumble is often more impressive than never fumbling at all. Start small. Use specific examples. Prepare with a strong method before high-stakes confrontations. Run the conversation pre-mortem when your anxiety is particularly high. Name the behavior, not the person's character. Hold the boundary when it is tested. Toxic traits confrontation is a practice, not a single act of bravery. Every time you go through the loop once, you make the next pass easier. That is not a metaphor. That is how the skill is built. Frequently asked questions. What is toxic traits confrontation, and why is it so difficult? Toxic traits confrontation means directly addressing harmful behavioral patterns in another person. It is difficult because low confidence and undeveloped communication skills create anticipatory anxiety, which causes most people to avoid the conversation entirely, allowing toxic behavior to continue unchecked and grow worse over time. How does the confidence-competence loop apply to confronting toxic traits? The confidence-competence loop shows that each time you successfully address a difficult behavior, your competence grows and your confidence rises with it. Apply it to toxic traits confrontation. This means you do not need to feel ready before acting. You become ready by taking structured, prepared action and building on small wins. What are the most common toxic traits to watch for in the workplace? Common toxic workplace traits include chronic blame shifting, undermining others in public, passive-aggressive communication, consistent boundary violations, and taking credit for others' work. Each of these erodes trust and psychological safety. The pattern matters more than any single incident. Isolated friction is normal, but repeated behavior directed at specific people is a warning sign. Why do confident people handle toxic traits more effectively? Confident communicators have practiced difficult conversations enough to stay calm, clear, and direct under pressure. They do not personalize toxic behavior or overexplain their position. The composure reduces the toxic person's ability to deflect, manipulate, or escalate, which means the conversation stays focused on the specific behavior rather than becoming an emotional confrontation. What is the strong method, and how does it help with toxic traits? The strong method is a six-step pre-conversation ritual. State your intention, take a breath, respect all perspectives, offer specific examples, navigate to solutions, and gain commitment to action. It builds confidence before a difficult exchange by giving you a clear structure to follow, so anxiety does not derail the conversation. How do you recover if a conversation about toxic traits goes badly? Use the three-step mistake recovery process. Acknowledge what went wrong, correct it with a specific follow-up statement, and move on without excessive self-criticism. As I cover and say it right every time, your ability to recover from a stumble is often more impressive than never stumbling at all. Recovery builds confidence for the next attempt. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.